It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox. 720 WGN.
White Sox lose to the Red Sox today, 4-2. It is White Sox Weekly. Mark Harmon and Harry Tynowitz. Hope you're having a great Saturday. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. Harry.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what place the Kansas City Royals are in?
They're in last place.
That's exactly right.
How about that? The White Sox. The White Sox have not been awful lately.
Actually, they've been borderline good. They've been playing 500 baseball. That's a step up at the bare minimum.
Right, and considering, you know, the master plan is it doesn't matter right now where they finish in the division. It's because in 2 years they want to rule the world.
Right. That's true, but they also do not like losing Rick Hahn and company.
I understand. No one likes to lose.
Right.
Except in the NBA.
Slow down. I don't get that reference at all.
They tank. There's rules about tanking. Teams want to pick first. They tank. Listen, it's White Sox Weekly. It's not called the NBA is boring.
I'm going to explain to you why.
Yes.
Why do you know why that happens in the NBA and it doesn't happen as much in other sports?
Because of the ping pong balls.
No, it's not because of the ping pong balls. Let me enlighten you
for just one minute.
Okay, the White Sox picked Nick Madrigal, number 4 overall, out of Oregon State.
Yeah, you got an awesome pick with the fourth guy.
Right, we most definitely hope that Nick is going to be an all-star guy and will play many years for the White Sox. But the reality is, in the Major League Baseball draft, there aren't sure things. In the NBA, you know with a lot less uncertainty that the top guys are going to be the top performers. So there's huge incentive in basketball to be bad that doesn't exist in baseball.
Like everybody knew Greg Oden.
Right. There are misses like Greg Oden. There are misses like Sam Bowie. But occasionally...
You make an excellent point. Of course, you're correct.
Patrick Ewing went what? Number one
number
overall?
Number one.
Where did Shaq go?
Number one.
Right.
Both were fixed.
And I could keep on going and keep on going. Where did Tim Duncan go? Right. Where did LeBron James go? These are all top picks.
LeBron who?
Right. So that is why. But let me rewinding back to what I was trying to... I feel the need to defend my NBA every now and then. Jerry Reinsdorf, so the basketball
team.
That's
ironic because there's very little defense going on in the NBA.
That's another ridiculous statement that's not true. Golden State is a phenomenal offensive team, also a great defensive team, which is why they're one of the greatest teams of all time. The White Sox lost last Wednesday to Cleveland 9-1. And after the game, the Sox had a closed-door clubhouse meeting for 25, 30 minutes.
It was great.
Okay, well, you were there? Were you in there?
No, but we talked about it last weekend. It was they responded. They were ticked off. They were pissed.
Right. It was awesome.
Right. Because the players, these guys, they don't care in 2 years, you know, that the White Sox might be one of the favorites to win the pennant. What they care about is today.
Well,
what they care about is going out and winning tomorrow, beating Boston.
Yeah, and there is a certain pride when you put on a Chicago White Sox uniform, or for that matter, any Major League uniform. But when you wear a White Sox uniform, I don't care what the record is, you go out there and you play with a ton of pride that you're in the big leagues, you're representing yourself, you're representing the organization, you're representing your family, all of it. There's a name on the front, there's a name on the back, all of it. So, and I'm not saying the White Sox haven't been playing hard, but I guess some guys felt like things needed to be addressed, they addressed them. They come out, they take 2 out of 3 from a first place club in the Milwaukee Brewers. They split 4 with Minnesota on the road, not terrible. Now they've split 2 with Boston and with an opportunity to take 2 out of 3 tomorrow with Ronaldo Lopez on the bump. So it's been a nice little stretch here, just showing that there is, you know, some care going around. So I think White Sox fans should feel good about that. 312-981-7200. We're working on what's our text question, Harry?
Well, with today, with Justify having won the Triple Crown, what former White Sox player's name would make the best horse name, racehorse name?
Pat, welcome to WGN. You have an answer for that?
Yes, I sure do.
What do you got,
this
Pat?
This is a two-inch putt. It's called the Big Hurt.
Oh, very good. So Pat is going with nickname instead of actual name, but that's a pretty solid name for a racehorse.
Pat, you want to do a little announcing like the Big Hurt down the stretch? Here comes the Big Hurt.
I don't think I'd be that good.
Pat, well,
there
yeah.
He comes spinning for home. It's the big hurt opening up. It's the big hurt.
That was phenomenal, Pat. You could have kept going. It was so. I wanted.
Solid.
I even wanted more. The Big Hurt rounding into form. The Big Hurt with steely-eyed determination. The Big Hurt. He knows that he's going to. Yeah.
You better keep your day job.
That's.
No, that was good. Let's encourage Carm.
That was very good.
Pat, I actually appreciate your honesty. That's fine.
Big Hurt, that's not bad. That's the clubhouse leader right now. Now I'm thinking Sox nicknames of the past.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you.
Spanky.
Thanks, guys. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Spanky.
Mike Squires was Spanky.
312-981-7200. I used to be called Spanky in another radio life.
Really?
Yes.
And in Houston or KC?
No, that was the naked truth about sports way back in the day on 92.7 The Bear, which is, I think, was the first time I ever saw you, Harry Tynowitz, doing beautiful media work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where were we?
We were in some locker room somewhere.
I used to work the locker rooms all the time.
Yep. Head to the ballpark, by the way, for Dollar Hot Dog Wednesdays. You can take advantage of this unbeatable deal on Wednesday, June 13th, as the Sox take on the Indians at 7:10 p.m.
What about the family four-pack for only $49?
Brought to you by, we'll get to that.
Can we
one.
Talk about that? That deal? That's an unbelievable. You get to see Major League Baseball, the Chicago White Sox, as they transition into being one of the top teams in the league shortly, and you get four tickets, four hot dogs, delicious hot dogs. My friends call them barkers because they the second they have one, they got to start barking for another hot dog. Four Cokes, all for $49.
We'll get to that. Don't you worry. But June 13th is Dollar Hot Dog Wednesday. It's brought to you by Securian Financial, who can help you make every moment count. You can find more at Securian.com. For tickets, visit WhiteSox.com/DollarDogs today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour is our guy, Nick Hostetler, the White Sox director of scouting. What draft pick are you most excited about, Harry?
I think the 11th pick.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting, because after day two, the White Sox were targeting their 11th round pick because they created additional money by taking guys in the 9th and 10th round who they thought they could sign for less for their 11th round pick. So we can hit on that coming back. But what we're going to do next is take you around the minor leagues. Very interesting stuff going on at all four levels.
Oh, I feel a song coming out.
Do you? Which song is that?
Come on.
I what was the song last week? I repressed
the
memory.
Like you weren't humming it all week long?
I guess I wasn't. What was it?
The Michael Kopech song.
Yeah, that song.
Alexi Music recorded it for us.
Alexi Music is great.
Yes.
It would have been better if you sung it. I don't know if Ben Anderson has that tune.
I cannot sing it.
You do have that tune?
I cannot sing it.
All right, we're going to play your song coming back here. That's happening.
Yeah, we'll go around the minors, though, because there's...
Well, we could start with Michael Kopech, who pitched last night. We'll play a song.
Right.
Okay? Is that...
And Cease. Cease was... Cease made all the bats cease in the game he was pitching today.
Cease was in action today, yes. He had a mostly good day. We'll explain that. And by the way, one more reminder. Friday, June 22nd, the White Sox take on the Oakland A's at 7:10 p.m. It's Loyola Medicine, and they'll present a spectacular...
Medicine? The first 10,000 get medicine?
No. Loyola Medicine is presenting a spectacular post-game fireworks show. Loyola Medicine, we also treat the human spirit. That's awesome. For tickets, visit WhiteSox.com or call 866-SOX-GAME.
Seriously, it is a 20-minute... plus fireworks show on Friday nights. These Friday night fireworks shows are better than the 4th of July fireworks you're going to go to. They are incredible fireworks shows.
Yep, and they got the lights going on in there with the
music.
Little glow stick action.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Quick timeout, White Sox Weekly continuing around the minor leagues next, 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly, indeed. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Harry, great to be with you today.
It's great to be with you, Carm. I am always happy to be at WGN, and it's kind of the end of an era because the station, as everybody knows, after nine decades in the Tribune Tower, the station is moving out of the building.
I didn't hear about that. Is that really? Is that happening?
Yes. I saw Chris Jones. I was so excited to meet Chris. I met Chris Jones this week, and the great theater reviewer, critic of the Chicago Tribune, who's also heard on WGN Radio often, and he was telling me all about the move, and it sounds exciting.
Yeah. I've been fighting back against it on two reasons. One, I don't like change, and I just... For me, it actually has to happen. Like, I have to be in the new place for it to be real. As long as I'm sitting in this studio, I feel like I'm going to be sitting here forever. I sort of have to be hit, like, in the head with a brick. So that'll be when we go over there, and I'm sure it's going to be awesome and sweet. Secondly,
Cochran will do a promo, hit Carm in the head with a brick.
That'll move the needle. I'm in. Anything for the station. That's my motto, Harry. Secondly, I've seen literally every single person at the station post something about how we're leaving. And so I feel like, you know, it's sort of been overplayed. However, I got here today. And do you watch The Walking Dead?
The Walking Dead, are you talking about the
zombie? Stop. It's a television.
Yes, I'm more of The Walking
Dead. It's on
Dead.
AMC.
Yes.
Okay. It's
yes.
The zombie apocalypse.
Yes. Left loves the show.
Right.
Bill and Wendy heard here 10 a.m. till 1.
So when you walk around our studios today, and I don't really think that anybody cares about this, but just for 1 second, when I'm walking around, you know, all the computers are pulled out, all the radio equipment's gone.
Very bizarre.
So it's like you're walking through, it's like this feels like The Walking Dead, like the world has just ended around here, except for the one microphone that we're still talking into right now. Me and Harry are actually sharing one mic. We're hovering over each other. That's what's going on. But they've taken everything away. It's like, oh my God, I felt like the zombie apocalypse today, Harry.
And they should be applauded for the way they've done this. I can't imagine moving a station, you know, like a high school radio station would be tough to move and stay on the air. They've done it with WGN.
Yes, they're very talented engineers out there. That
strong engineering crew here.
Right. Me and you are lucky to get a phone call on the air. It's you know, to actually push the button and have it work. That's an accomplishment for me and you.
Yes, sir.
Or at least it is for me. I don't want to put you in
No, no, no. It is for me as well.
Yeah. You're awful, technological-wise. It's really,
right, right.
I'm with you, hand in hand. Let's walk down the street.
All right. I miss all the listener calls.
If we were the first people on planet Earth, there's no chance we would have invented the chair. Zero chance. We would have been sitting on the floor, eating out of our hands. Never would have invented a fork or a chair. Would have been eating dirt, me and you.
I would have invented a remote control.
I don't think you would have.
I couldn't live without one.
You would have wanted one. But
by the way, the recliner at my house is broken.
Well, let's see. Exactly. Because you have no idea how to fix it.
No.
Hey, real quick, Vic, on the north side, you're dialing up White Sox Weekly. What's up, Vic?
Yeah, you're talking about a nickname. Remember El Caballo?
Yeah, there it is.
Ah, perfect. The horse.
I can't believe Harry didn't get that one right off the top.
That's awesome. Well, shame on me. I was going back in time too much. But right there, El Caballo. Remember what song they used to play when El Caballo strolled up to the ditch?
I can't remember
By Van Halen.
If you're just joining the show, by the way, we're doing the text. Our text line question of the day is, what former White Sox player would be a great horse? And you're going with El Caballo, which is a very right down the middle play by you, Vic. Well done.
Thanks, guys. Nice talking to you.
You got it.
When El Caballo, 45, Carlos Lee would stroll to the plate, they would play Panama.
Do you remember who the White Sox traded Carlos Lee for, Harry?
Who the White Sox traded Carlos Lee for? He went to the Brewers.
Yeah, who'd they get?
So that would have been...
It's a very key cog to the lineup.
It was
a left-handed hitter. He was a leadoff guy. He had a huge...
Oh, Scotty Potts.
Yes,
that was a very key trade.
It was a controversial trade at the
time.
Thank you. That one worked out pretty well, I would say.
A damn straight.
Take advantage of the Diamond Suite flash sale and lock in a summer outing today. Receive significant savings on a 20-person suite. Hats for the whole group, a scoreboard message. You could... put on their I Love Harry Tino. It's a complimentary dessert card upgrade and more. For more information, visit whitesox.com/flash sale today. The Diamond Suite flash sale.
A dessert cart upgrade.
That's not on there, but maybe you can work something out.
I've never... how could that dessert cart get any better?
It is a tremendous, tremendous dessert cart. All right, let us take you around the minor leagues. First off, we have a song as we do every now and then to talk about as we get into the Charlotte...
Right.
Yes?
Yeah, well, last week he pitched, and he got shelled on Saturday.
And he pitched last night, too. We'll update you on how he did. Maybe the song is starting to... I don't know, seep into his being.
Say this is not the song.
It's a really good song, though.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Leonard Skinner. Happy to have you here. We have a version with words and everything.
Apparently that was not it.
That's the best part of the parody song is the words.
That was not the one?
That was not the one.
But it was really, I mean, I felt it. These things happen. Michael Kopech, that was for you, even though it was not really what we wanted. But Michael Kopech last night, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, they were earned, walked 5, he struck out 10, the ERA sitting at 4.70. This is last night, and Charlotte lost by a score of 2-1. So I would say that's a step forward, but again, you do look at that walk number, and 5 is too many, right? I mean, there's no way around that.
He's walked too many guys. He strikes out a ton of guys, which is great. And you expect, you know, your strikeout pitchers, you expect them to, you know, sometimes have high walk numbers. But Kopech is walking too many guys. And I guess that's the reason he's not up. You know, when you see Dylan Covey pitch like he did last night, you know, when you see Lopez pitching like he's pitched this season, you can't wait for Kopech to come up here. I'm waiting for Dane Dunning to get up here.
Right now they're losing to Lehigh Valley 6-1. The game is in the fifth inning. Birmingham is in action as well right now. Last night the Barons won 6-3, and Zach Collins, their catcher, who is on his way to the big league club, I think, pretty rapidly right now. 2-for-4, a couple of runs scored. He walked again. He by far leads the Southern League in walks. And he's hitting .277 with an on-base percentage, an OPS of .931, which is excellent. So Zach Collins, former first-round pick, this is a guy that seemingly is on his way. You mentioned the Winston-Salem Dash earlier. They played already this afternoon, the Dash, a 10-4 winner, and you were interested in Dylan Cease.
Yes.
6 innings, he struck out 9, didn't walk anyone. That is excellent. He did give up 3 runs, all earned. They were all solo homers.
I think he's going to be so good.
He's having, it's been a very, very solid year for Dylan Cease. So, next step, he's got to, who knows how long he'll be down at Winston-Salem, but double A is next. He's not going to be here this year,
right? He's a righty. He's a starting pitcher, and you would expect him to get his crack at the rotation at some point.
Yes, and of course he came over in the Jose Quintana trade with the Chicago Cubs, or along with Eloy Jimenez, which is looking like a great, great deal for the Chicago White Sox.
It sure is.
Yes. And let's update you. Class A Kannapolis is in action right now as well. The Intimidators they scored out 4-4. They are in the ninth. So we'll update that as they're taking on Rome a little bit later in the program. But up next is Nick Hosteller, the White Sox director of scouting. That's after the 7:30 news. The White Sox, of course, had their draft this week, and we've got a ton of new players to talk about. We'll see what Nick likes the most and who maybe you can expect to see with the big league club sooner than later. All that straight ahead, especially the White Sox first round pick, number 4 overall, Nick Madrigal. We'll do all that right after 7:30. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. The The 2018 MLB draft, it went exactly as planned for the Chicago White Sox, Harry Tynowitz.
There's a little something for Carlos Lee right here. Panama!
There you go. Nick Hostetler, White Sox director of scouting, taking time out from his busy schedule on a Saturday night to join us on White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. Nick, you got every pick that you wanted. It went exactly perfect, correct?
It did. I'm starting to become a weekly guest with you guys. I'm going to be sad next week when I'm not on with you guys. Nobody cares about me.
Who told you you weren't going to be on with us? I was told you're co-hosting.
I might as well, right? We need to find a backup plan if these guys don't pan out.
We will look for excuses to get you on in the future here, Nick. There's no doubt. Okay, when I saw your first pick, Nick Madrigal's second baseman, Oregon State, and I thought to myself, he wouldn't take Nick unless he thought he could play other spots around the infield as well. But maybe you just think his talent is that great. Like, hey, look, this guy is phenomenal at second base, and I would have taken him. I know that he can, because you guys have talked about that, but like, would you have taken him if he didn't have the positional versatility to do it because he's just that talented?
Well, I'll start off by saying one of the reasons why I chose him over Brady Singer was so I didn't have to do that dance in that video that Harry commentary I would do the week before. But no, Mark, and to answer your question, you know, one of the first and foremost things with Nick was for us was the offensive package, the tool set, the ability to drive the baseball, put the bat on the baseball, run. He'll show you some surprising pop at times, but yeah, in the terms on when we're talking about the defensive part of it, he is versatile. We do see Nick as a guy that has the ability to play multiple positions in the infield. We're going to send him out as a shortstop. We feel fully confident going through what our scouts, myself, what video and stats we have on him playing shortstop all the way back into high school. We feel like he's got a chance to play shortstop. So we're going to give that opportunity first to Nick to see if he can play shortstop and stick there. And then from that point, you know, we can look to add other positions. And look, we're hoping that we're in a position similar to what the Astros were in with Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve, where Alex Bregman had to come up and go play third base. I mean, hopefully we're in that position. And let's hope that Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada are the level of those two type of players that force Nick to play third base. So, yeah, with his versatility defensively, it definitely was attractive to us.
And there's just some kind of cool karma going on, Nick, that you pick a guy named Nick. I mean, there's, you know, it's wonderful life. That's another thing. Where do you get off calling me Nick? I think there's something there. But now, let me ask you about the second selection, Steele Walker, because this is like Nick Madrigal. They're saying, hey, it was a great pick, you know, smart pick. But like Steele Walker, they're talking about how you guys like took advantage of the rest of baseball. What can you tell Sox fans about the youngster Steele Walker?
Now, Steele Walker has a premium hit tool with power, both him and Nick Madrigal, as well as our third-round pick, Connor Pilkington, who actually is getting ready to pitch here in about an hour against Vanderbilt. They all three played on Team USA together, so they all know each other really well, and we had a chance to see those guys last summer. But Steele's playing right field right now due to the fact that they had Kyler Murray at Oklahoma, who went ninth to the Oakland A's. They had him playing center. We fully believe that Steele can go back to center field, play center field. He's a plus runner. He's got big-time raw power. He hit a ball against the University of Kansas when I was there that night that still hasn't landed yet. And, you know, when we've got guys in our room like Garrett Guest and Robbie Cummings, a few of our scouts that just absolutely were in love with Steele Walker. And you know, at that point, when our guys are screaming that loud for a player like this, it's a left-handed bat up the middle, a guy we've had a long track record with. There was no way I thought we were going to get Steele in the second round when we started that day. And when we did, we were extremely excited.
Would you say it was a steal?
Oh, that was a good one. I like that, Harry.
I was due.
That was So you were due. That was a good one. Yeah, there's a lot of references so far today. We'll keep on with that. See what you got next.
I'm going to flip it to the chemistry side here, Nick, because I was reading Steele's a fairly religious guy. And so when you're putting a clubhouse together, you got to think about, okay, you know, how's everybody going to get along? I mean, do you not consider that at all? Like, you know, because baseball can be, you know, real guy, you know, type of place. And then there can be different dudes in there. Like, how much do you even factor any of that in?
No, at the level that we're at, where we're picking the players, and it comes into play from a sense of what type of person they are, how they get along with their teammates, not necessarily their beliefs or anything along those. Like, you know, guys, their locker rooms can tend to form some cliques at times where guys, you know, they gravitate to players that have similar beliefs, similar thought process, like to do the same types of things. So, you know, I don't really get too involved in that and thinking about, you know, how's it going to matter in a big league clubhouse or that. We talk to their college coaches. We talk to their teammates. We find out what they believe and what they feel on the player. And we more ride with that than we do looking towards the future and how they might blend into, let's say, a clubhouse in Chicago.
Yeah, it makes sense. You mentioned Connor Pilkington a second ago, and he's playing and still in college, and so is Nick. Do you get a little concerned? You know, you don't want a guy getting hurt here, right, Nick?
So. I just told my wife about 30 seconds before I got on the show with you guys that I'm not sure I'm going to watch the Vanderbilt Mississippi State game tonight, because I get scared to death that one of these guys are going to get injured playing in these games. I hate the fact that we've got to wait this long. I really wish Major League Baseball and college baseball could come together and jointly come up with a process in the draft and the right time to have it that eliminates some of this. I mean, some of these guys that will pitch into the College World Series, I mean, Connor Pilkington could have three more starts after the draft. I mean, it's crazy to think that. And I mean, on top of that, it's going through the kid's head. It's not fair to the kid. It's not fair to the team that they're playing. It's not fair to the major league clubs. I'm not looking for, I'm going to watch, I think, and flip back between that and the Oregon State game, because we also have a player, Micah Coffey, that's on the Minnesota team. And I'm just, I don't like watching these games one bit.
and you're seeing it in football, too. I mean, guys aren't playing in bowl games because they're worried it's going to hurt them in the draft.
Right.
So
I'm waiting for that to happen. I hope it doesn't get that point in college baseball, but I mean, it may. And I mean, I don't necessarily, I'm a team guy. I've always believed in that. But at the same time, this is a business as well. And I guess I kind of get it and I understand it.
So if it's a business, I mean, if I were him, I'd want to win the College World Series. But if it were a business, I mean, can't you guys say, here's a little something, something extra in your contract, and we don't want you to play in the College World Series?
I'm not going to comment on that because that might get me in trouble with Major League Baseball.
Okay.
No, I do, look, could it happen? It could. I'm not sure that we've ever gotten to that point. I think that, I think watching them compete, I mean, I think Jared Mitchell is a perfect example. We took Jared, and then after that, I think he won the College World Series MVP. And, you know, and after being a first-round pick, that was probably one of the highlights in Jared's life. So to look back and think that might have been taken away from him. Gordon Beckham, the same thing. You know, that might have been taken away from him. I don't know if we could ever sleep at night knowing that we took that away from a kid.
Nick Hostetler, he's the decision maker when it comes to who joins the White Sox. He's hanging out with his buddies Carm and Harry on White Sox Weekly on WGN for a few minutes longer. Do you get messages from your contemporaries saying, oh, man, you did great on the draft?
Yeah, we get a lot of times it happens during the draft. Like, there'll be a few cuss words and then you just pick my guy. there'll be stuff like that. We get that often. Not so much necessarily in the first round, but more as we get into day two and day three, we get them a lot. There's one of my good friends that works with another club who sent me a text after we made our 11th round pick. He said, oh man, you just picked us on my guy, and bleep, bleep, bleep. And I respond back with a kiss emoji and that I loved him. And that's just kind of what we do, the back and forth with it. But yeah, it is nice. You know, and it is kind of nice to hear right when you take a player that some other teams were on him right about the same range. At least, you know, you're thinking along the lines of someone else.
So you're talking about Kelvin Maldonado, correct? And that's,
Correct. Yeah.
So this is an 18-year-old Puerto Rico. And, you've credited, Nick, I was listening to your, some of your conference calls with the media afterwards. You credited Pepe Ortega a ton of times, and this is one of your scouts. And apparently, Ortega is very high on Kelvin Maldonado.
He is. Pepe's been with us for almost 30 years now, I think, and he's signed the likes of Alex Fernandez and Chris Sale, and there's been multiple other guys that he has drafted and signed that are impactful big leaguers. And when Pepe starts screaming and yelling for a guy, you stand up and listen. And he really, really was high on Lindsay Delgado, our fourth round pick, as well as Romy Gonzalez, our 18th round pick, and then also Kelvin Maldonado, who was our 11th round pick. And Kelvin is a kid that has just tremendous athletic ability. He's a plus runner. He's going to stay at shortstop. He's got a plus arm. The bat is a little bit light just due to some lack of strength is all. There's bat speed there. He makes contact. What's went on in Puerto Rico over the course of the last year with the hurricanes and the devastation over there has been terrible, and to see some of these kids get some opportunities to get off their island and help their families with some money this is great. There's been, I think this year, the record number of Puerto Rican players that have been selected, so I'm excited to see that for the country and these kids that have struggled through this.
Nick, can you give us, in the last 4 years since you've been running the show, can you give us an example of a guy you drafted that, like a scout, was all over and you're so glad that you listened to that scout?
Let's see here. Alec Hansen would probably be the one. Alec Hansen was a guy that I had major questions coming into the year. He had some elbow history in the past. A lot of times big pitchers like that, 6'8" and taller, tend to struggle with their mechanics and keep it in line. And he struggled during the year. And I just kept getting pounded over and over and over again by our area scout, Clay Overcash and Mike Shirley. And they loved the kid. And they just go over and over, Nick, you've got to see him. Finally, luckily, went in and listened to him and saw him, and I'm really glad I did.
A lot of people think, Nick, that you guys are, you prefer college players to high school players. You look at it, you certainly in the early rounds, you take a lot more college guys than high school guys. Is that a fair, would you say, yeah, that's right, we actually do prefer college kids because they have played longer and it's easier to evaluate them?
I think maybe as an organization, and I think Major League Baseball as a whole,
yeah,
likes college players a little bit more. They tend to go higher. There's a little bit more safety to them than the high school player. Me, myself, and the way I was brought up as a scout with the Atlanta Braves and learning the John Schuerholz, Paul Snyder, Roy Clark days of take as many of these 18-year-old kids as you can, and you're going to hit on some superstars. That's the way I was brought up. So I have that still in my blood. I still love the high school player. It just happens to be, a little bit more safety with these college kids because there's a little more track record. Now, I've been on record saying that we need to spread this thing out a little bit, and we need to get younger in places. I think this year we're going to sign four high school players for sure. We're working on a fifth one right now. Hopefully we can sign five high school players and start spreading this thing out a little bit, and coupling that with our international signs. So, myself personally, I still have a soft spot for the high school kid, but I do think that baseball in general more leans towards the college player.
Well, we're going to talk to your 38th round pick, Matt Klug, at 8:35 tonight. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's an awesome job by you guys. I saw that you saw an article about how he had lost both his parents, and there's a friend too that he had also lost, and you guys wanted to do him a solid and pick him in the 38th round. He's most likely not going to play in the big leagues, but that's just that was a really, really cool thing that you and the Chicago White Sox did, Nick. So we're excited to talk to him. I think it's awesome that you did that.
I appreciate it, Carm. I think that these guys. This young man has been through more than what any human being should have to go through in their life, and to lose not only one of your best friends but also your parents in such a short time frame. I mean, I couldn't imagine as a 40-year-old man. I couldn't imagine going through it, let alone a 16-year-old kid. So for him to go through that and to persevere and come out with such a positive attitude. I mean, with all the negative stuff that's going on in the world today, to hear the 16, 17, 18-year-old kid that just wakes up every morning and says, I'm happy to be here, and it's my day to impact somebody. I mean, how can't you how can't that just tug at your heartstrings? And when I read the article, I forwarded it to Kevin Burrell, our area scout, and, you know, we were on the same page from that point forward. We want to do whatever we can to recognize Matt and the positivity that he has put in other people's lives through tragedy. And the small part that we could play in it is very special, but I want to make sure all the accolades and all the light shines down on Matt in the situation. He really deserves it.
It's an awesome move, and there's not a baseball fan that doesn't appreciate you guys doing that. Before we let you go, Nick, you selected Cannon King, who is the son of the great talk show host Larry King. Last year, you selected another one of Larry King's sons. You selected Chance King. I hope you are better at picking Larry King's sons than Larry King is at picking his wives.
Oh wow, that was I liked the last part of that. I've yet of all the King questions that I've gotten over the last 2 years, the last part of that, Harry, is kind of the best. That's the best one I've heard. I can go down the record books and say, and I drafted Larry King's both of his sons. Larry's a very close friend of Dennis Gilbert, and Dennis Gilbert is a very close friend of Jerry Reinsdorf and a major part of our organization. And Dennis does a ton for scouts and the Professional Baseball Scouts Foundation, and Larry's a big sponsor there. And I've had the opportunity to meet Larry multiple times, sit at a dinner table with him, and he loves his kids, he loves his children, and this was a way for us to just recognize his kids and congratulate him, wish him the best of luck in college.
If they ever made it to the bigs, would they not wear a belt? Would they all wear suspenders?
It costs this letter.
That would be terrific. That would be terrific.
It'd be like Slider, hello.
White Sox director of scouting, hello. Thank you for drafting my son, Cannon.
Knuckle curve, hello.
Nick, we appreciate it. Great to talk to you. We'll leave you alone for a little bit here, but hopefully talk to you soon after that.
You're good, Carm. Anytime. I appreciate it, fellas.
It's our pleasure. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
See you.
Nick Hostler, White Sox director of scouting. Hopefully this draft is his best draft yet. Quick timeout, White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. All right, we got a very busy 8 o'clock hour coming up here on White Sox Weekly. Matt Klug, who is just an inspirational story. He's out of Brookwood High School in Georgia. He lost both his parents in high school, which is obviously a huge tragedy. And here's a kid that just keeps on going. The White Sox picked him in the 38th round. So we're going to talk to Matt, and we're going to play our conversation with Hawk Harrelson coming up right after the 8 o'clock news.
Yes, here. And the song, the Michael Kopech song.
It's back?
Oh, yes.
The more than the instrumental version?
Yes.
I cannot wait. 720 WGN.
The team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
8:07. Hope you're having a great Saturday night. White Sox Weekly till 9. Harry Tynowitz and yours truly, Mark Carmen. Ben Anderson producing the program. Having a good time with you guys tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Harry.
Yes, looking forward to being out at the park next Saturday afternoon.
Yes, the Tigers in town. Harry, this is the moment in the show that you have been waiting for.
Yes, we're going to talk to Kelly Wunsch.
We're not talking to Kelly Wunsch. We are going to talk to Hawk Harrelson in a moment. But first...
Get on back there.
Bring your family of four to a White Sox game for as low as...
$49.
That's right. Our family four-pack includes...
Four tickets.
What else?
Four hot dogs.
What else?
Four Coca-Colas.
Four sodas, yes. What else?
Baseball bats autographed by Maglio Ordonez.
That's not true, but four chips is included. Upper level and...
That's ridiculous. How can they do that? That's like such a great offer.
Upper level and lower level packages available. Check out all the available dates at whitesox.com/4packs today. All right, so Hawk Harrelson has a book out, Hawk, I Did It My Way. And I'm combing through it. I was at a wedding last night down in beautiful Houston, Texas. Was reading it on the plane. It's an awesome read. You did it with Jeff Snook, and Jeff's a great author, and Hawk is very, very vulnerable and interesting, like Hawk always is. I didn't realize When we have him on next time, I want to talk to him about, you know, he played golf with Jackie Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Some really cool stuff in the book. But we start this part of our conversation with Hawk where he opens up the book and he tells a story about how his mother had caught his father cheating on her for the umpteenth time. And she had pulled out a pistol, and here's young Hawk trying to...
A big kid, strapping kid, muscular kid, you can imagine.
But a kid. And so he proceeds to tell the story of, okay, my mom is about to kill my dad because my dad is cheating on my mom, and how he chose to step in.
Well, she was going to kill him. I mean, there's no, she always carried a pistol with her. Back in those days, that was not really an uncommon thing, you know. And she always had a pistol, so he was running around on her, and she caught him, and they got into a huge argument, and she went to get her pistol. She got it in her hand, and he went over, ran over, and grabbed her by the arm, and the gun went off, went into the ceiling. And when that happened, I hit him, and I was a big kid, and I was a strong kid, too. And I hit him as hard as I could, but of course, at that age, you're not going to hurt an adult, you know, if you hit him. And I hit him as hard as I could, and then he looked at me, and for about 2 or 3 seconds, and then he turned around, walked out of the house, and that was the last time I saw him until I got to the big league. And when I got to the big league, he called me. I was in Washington. We were playing the Senators. I was with Kansas City, and he wanted to see me. And out of curiosity, I said, okay. He comes over. The first thing he says is, I need to borrow some money.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I don't call him my father. I mean, he was biologically, sure. But my mom, there have been a lot of guys who love their moms as much as I love mine, but there's never been a son, who loved his mother more than I love mine.
Hawk, today, if a 12-year-old were put in that predicament, there are people that are so well-educated and trained, counselors that would come in and talk to them. Back then, you didn't have that kind of access. What helped you get through that and move on?
My mom was not a book smart person. She was a genius at common sense. And she raised me. She was making 56 bucks a week working as a secretary at a meatpacking company there. And I went to military school. And I got a scholarship to go. A guy paid for the tuition, the books, the uniforms, the whole bit, because it was a very expensive school to go to, and we certainly couldn't afford it. And they wanted me to come there. They had three high schools there in Savannah. And all three of them, you know, were trying to recruit me. But when you go to military school like I did for 3 years, there's three things you learn. The first thing you learn is that you don't care how big they are. The second thing you learn is that within reason, you don't care how many there are. And the third thing you learn is somebody's going to get knocked out because you're not going to quit. And those were the things that my mom just absolutely ingrained in me besides military school. So in essence, I had two great psychologists, my mom and military school.
Would you say that, I mean, there's so much fear that goes on in the game and succeeding and the pressure. It sounds like you sort of learned how to deal with that in a way that you're just going to keep going no matter what the circumstances. Does that make any sense?
Oh, sure. Well, you don't quit. That's why Ricky is the guy for our team. Ricky is ingrained in these guys. Hey, you're going to bust your ass or you're not going to play. It's just that simple. I mean, because these kids today, some of these kids, you know, they're making so much money that if they don't like what a coach or a manager says, they just look at them like they're crazy and just turn around and walk away because they know they're not going to get a sit down. The only way you can really discipline, and there's got to be discipline in everything in life. The only way you can discipline guys is by playing time. And that's what Ricky has done with our guys. The guys just love it. I wish I'd have had it last year. I'm telling you, I can kick myself in the ass for not taking this picture. I went to the food room in Minnesota and he was sitting there with Willie Garcia, Adi Garcia, and Abreu, the four of them, and Renteria. Those guys were laughing so hard, Rick was, it was a beautiful thing to see. I mean, it really was. It was just a beautiful thing to see because he was the manager. Here's the manager with three of his players and they're just absolutely having a wonderful time before a ball game. And you've got to have fun playing this game. You've got, if you can't have fun, then you're not giving, you're not going to realize your potential. One of the greatest things the player can have and retain is his childlike instincts, his childlike qualities. And with all these numbers that they're trying to inundate our players with now, the more numbers that come out and the more mechanics that come out, the more the childlike qualities diminish. And Ricky is trying to bring those back. He's trying to let these kids go out there and have fun, because the three things that when I played you wanted to do, okay, this is the three in order, were you want to have fun, because if you had fun, you had a better chance to win. And then the third thing was, well, just make as much money as you could. And those were, and that was in order. Today, it's money, money, and money with both teams, with most teams. And Ricky is not in that zone. He wants our guys to have fun. That way they can retain their childlike qualities. They can go ahead and grow and have fun. Will they make mistakes? You're damn right they will. And when they do, he tells them about it. I'm not going to mention the one player's name, but the one guy, and this was last year. In fact, Ricky and I were talking about before the game. So he made a couple of mental mistakes in that game. So after the game was over, I went down in the clubhouse, and this was in New York. And there, the kid was sitting in Rick's office, and they sat there for like 20 minutes, and Rick was talking to him about it. Well, to this day, I have not seen that kid make another mental mistake. That's what it takes. And certainly with the Latin influence in the game today, bigger than it's ever been, and it's growing each and every year. They're almost 40% of the players are Latin. Then I've talked with Jerry about this and other people. You're going to see in the upcoming years, you're going to see more and more Latin managers. Last year, you know how many Latin managers there were in the game? One. And we had him. Rick Rensselaer was the only Latin manager in the game. Now, they got Alex in Boston. They got Davey in Washington. And you're going to see this trend grow, because the Latin players are coming in, and they have paid the price down there. The Latin players have retained their childlike qualities and their childlike instincts better than our Caucasian kids. I mean, that's just the way it is. They down there, they grow up in a different game down there than we teach our kids here in the United States. They have fun down there. They have fun. They go up and they see ball, hit ball. They don't think about swing angles or they just go out and they try to win a ball game for you. And that's what you're going to be seeing from the Sox. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be fun to watch. As I said, next 10 years in Chicago are going to be maybe the greatest decade in baseball history.
Hawk, I got to ask you about this game that we all fell in love with when we were kids. We live in a day and age where you get 6 mound visits, where if you slide hard, you're an SOB, and the commissioner of baseball is talking about robot umpires. Where are we with Major League Baseball in 2018?
I'm with you. I know where you're going with it. I'm with you 100%. I'll tell you what, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday. I was going over my iPad. I love my iPad. I don't know how to work it. I know sending in, you know, but you can see what's going on in the world of baseball. And they had a picture of a great player, great catcher in San Francisco, Buster Posey. And when they put that Buster Posey rule in, I tell you what, it just floored me. And if you ask the guys today, my age or my era, they'll tell you it's ridiculous. That slide that they were getting on, Rizzo about the other day. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, the man's got to try to keep his team out of getting into a double play. I applauded Rizzo for it. I mean, you know, it's just that's the way the game's got to be played. If a guy gets, when I try to score, if the catcher had the ball before I got the home plate about, say, 8 or 10 feet, what am I going to do? Slide? We tried to run right over their ass. I mean, just run right over them. And in the game today, I mean, it's just they're not played that way because they won't allow them to play that way. And what they're trying to do with, you know, umpires, there's nobody. As much as I argued with umpires, there's not two rules in baseball, you heard me say. First rule in baseball, if you're going to win in the major leagues, you got to catch the ball. It's not hitting, pitching, you got to catch the ball, because I don't care how good your pitching is or how good your hitting is. If you can't catch it, you're going to give him 30, 31 outs, you're going to get 27, you're going to get beat. And the second rule is don't mess with Joe West. You know, that's just the way it is. And I love umpires. They got a tough job to do. But do I think they're sacrosanct, that they're untouchable? No way, because they're a big part of the game. They have, umpires is like players. You got good ones, you got mediocre ones, you got bad ones. And they are a huge part of the game. We had a couple of games in the last 10 days that we were taken right out of that ball game by the umpire. Now, you got to live with it because it's not going to change. But when you start talking about robot umpires, come on, give me a break.
Besides, it wouldn't sound as cool coming from the broadcast booth. What are you doing, robot umpire number three?
That's true. Come on, Mark Wagner, what are you doing?
Somebody's got to program that umpire. Hawk, let's talk about your hawkisms for a second, because I got to be honest, I always thought, like, at least, you know, particularly like in the 90s, when you had the Big Hurt, you had Robin, you had a team that probably should have won a World Series if there wasn't a strike, but I felt like the White Sox were playing 10-on-9 with you in the booth. Like, there was an impact, at least watching the game. And I don't know where you did it. Was it all just, it came through while you were doing games where you get that you could put it on a board and he'd gone and grab some bench, sit back, relax, and strap it down. All of it was, did you think about these things beforehand or just come to you?
No, you can't do that. It's going to be spontaneous, you know? Like the Big Hurt, you know, he had a streak there going, and he was killing the ball. You know, first 7 years he was in the league, he was the best right-handed hitter I ever saw. And he was killing the ball. He hurt it. One day he had a home run, and I'm watching him go around first base, and it just blurted out, the Big Hurt. You know, it just blurted out. And I've had players come to me and ask me, oh, give me a nickname. I said, well, do something to cause me. But that team right there, yeah, you just hit a real touchy, sore subject with me when that strike. That Donald Fear, I'll tell you, he was a disgrace to the game of baseball. He said it. He said, I'm not a baseball fan. He wanted to make something of his legacy. And that's why that strike came about, because we had our Chicago White Sox and they had their Montreal Expos, the best two teams in baseball. And everybody was waiting to see those two teams butt heads in a World Series. It would have been something to see with those two great ball clubs. And Donald Fear took that all away from baseball. And I tell you, if I had been a fan, I wouldn't have come back. I wouldn't have come back. And the irony is, you know what brought it back? Was the home run race between Sammy and Mark. That's what brought fans back to the game, because that old saying, you know, Wimpy's got a nephew loved. I predict he may be president of the United States one day. We were playing golf out at Michigan's golf course, Ann Arbor. And all of a sudden he says, you know, Hawk, he said, he's like 12 years old. He says, Hawk, you know, Ticks dig the long ball. <It's true. laughs> And when Sammy and Mark, I love Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire, I'll tell you, those two guys are two of them. When Sammy was with us, you know, I call him the Panther. He was just, I loved him. But he and Walter Reniac didn't get along. And, of course, when they called me and told me that they had traded Sammy for George Bell, I was so happy for Sammy, because he was not going to get along with Walter. Walter was not going to get along with him. And Sammy was regressing, so to speak. And, of course, after he left us, then, you know, it's all history now. And Mark McGuire is one of the sweetest people you ever want. He's like a big, cubby teddy bear is what he is. He's not as big as Frank Howard was, but Frank was the same way, unless you pissed him off. And Mark's the same way. But those two guys, when they got hooked up in those two home run races, that brought the fans back. But that 94 season, that was such a disgrace to the game of baseball.
That's the great Hawk Harrelson with us. You want to hear the whole interview, go to WGNradio.com. Check out the White Sox Weekly Podcast. Love talking to Hawk.
Hawk is awesome. And Father's Day is next Sunday. What a great idea. Give your dad, you can be a Cubs fan or a Sox fan, it's just a great baseball book. Give your dad I Did It My Way by Hawk Harrelson.
Yep. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. 8:34 Saturday night, White Sox Weekly till 9. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. This is your home for White Sox baseball. And the MLB draft was this week. And the White Sox, of course, had picks in all 40 rounds. And I don't know if he's the best guy they took, but he's certainly the best story. And his name is Matt Klug. He was picked in the 38th round. He's an outfielder out of Brookwood High School in Lyburn, Georgia. And Matt, first of all, thank you so much for taking time and joining us on White Sox Weekly. We very much appreciate it. How's your Saturday going, Matt?
It's good. Thanks so much for having me on here.
It's most definitely our pleasure. Now, you were not the best baseball player on your high school team. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I got my fair share of, playing time here and there. I didn't start much. I played my, whole life. And, I was always, good, but there was definitely people ahead of me.
Right. But would you say it's fair to say that nobody on the team was as good of a teammate as far as supporting everybody on the team and just wanting to be around the club and working as hard as you can? Would you get, the number one worker award?
Yeah, I always have people come up to me saying, how they love having me in the dugout, having me around. Just all kinds of people tell me how good of a teammate I was, and that's just, how I always tried to be.
Yeah, and your story, the background for people who don't know, you lost your mom to COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, while you're in high school, and then a year later, you lost your dad to a bout with cancer as well. And Matt, I lost my mom in junior high to cancer, so I can relate to you at least on some level. This is not easy stuff. And your story, I think, is inspiring. It was inspiring to the White Sox, especially to Nick Hostetler, the director of scouting. Because you didn't crawl into a hole and you just kept on going back to school, which brought you a lot of joy, but you were also continuing to approach life. So first of all, it's a testament to you and to your parents that you were able to do that. And just talk about how you decided, I want to continue to move forward here, and my life is going to go on, and these are the only options that I have. And I know you got some older brothers and sisters, but you continue to show up and continue to approach your teammates, your school, and yourself, and it takes a lot of courage to do that, Matt.
Yeah, I had my fair shares of days off. I know both times when my parents passed away, I took about a week off of school, but I didn't want to, just sit around and not do anything, just sit there and just, soak and, cry and, just the typical, I didn't want to sit around and think about it. I wanted to get back to a normal, schedule, normal life. So, I had my fair share of days off, my coaches, teachers, everybody was super understanding of, when I had to miss time. But with my mom passing and then my dad again the next fall, we weren't in the season. So it wasn't a huge deal. I didn't miss games or anything, but workouts, conditioning, stuff like that, they were always just super understanding, take your time, come back when you want, come back when you need, but of course come back as soon as you're ready. I didn't want to, just sit around and not do anything. I wanted to, get back in that normal routine as quick as I could, just so I could, feel, I was a normal kid, but feel, just like everyone else, knowing that they weren't going through what I was going through. But I didn't want to think about that. I just wanted to, be a normal kid, a normal just high school athlete, just trying to, with a normal routine, just get back out there with the guys and just prepare for the season, finish up my senior year, and just keep it as normal as I could despite, the circumstances.
So, Matt, how did you find out that you had been drafted by the Chicago White Sox?
So, on Wednesday, I'm just up. Just doing a normal day, just running some errands, whatever. And my head coach over at Brookwood, Coach Titus Martin, he calls me. And, we're just talking, just talking about life, really. Just, I had an award ceremony. I won an award for the being like a positive athlete, the positive athlete awards on Tuesday night. And so Wednesday he calls me and he's like, hey, sorry I couldn't make it there last night. He's just talking about normal stuff like that. We was just having a normal conversation. And then he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, just one more thing. It was no big deal. He was like, Kevin Burrell, he's a scout with the White Sox. He wants you to give him a call. And I'm like, okay, what's this all about? I had no idea. So he texted me Kevin Burrell's phone number, and I call him. And he just cut right to it. He's like, hey, Matt, this is Kevin Burrell with the White Sox. We're going to draft you in the 38th round. And I just, like, my phone would drop. I'm just, like, I'm speechless. I was, like, are you serious? Like, I didn't really know. Because, you know, I mean, I had no plans, you know, to keep playing baseball, no plans to play in college. Like, I'm done with baseball, really. So it's just a huge surprise to me. My head coach knew for a month before he told me. Like, I never knew. He kept it from me just to surprise me. And just that all happened on Wednesday. And then about 6 o'clock, we were home, and we pulled up the laptop and heard my name get called. And it was just really, really special to me.
No, so, I mean,
that's awesome.
It's unbelievable story. It's really cool that the White Sox did that. Was there a part of you that's like, okay, which one of my jerkhead friends is pulling this prank on me? I mean, was there a part of you that thought, okay, I am getting punked?
Yeah, I mean, I literally asked him, like, are you serious? Because, like, that's not something I'd ever imagined, you know, that would happen to me. It's always been a dream, but, you know, I realize it's not a reality. Like, I'm going to go to college, get a degree, and then get a job. Like, that's never something that crossed my mind. Hey, I could get drafted. Like, it's just is crazy to me.
So, is there any plans for you to, you know, show up at a camp somewhere here, man, and just at least, you know, experience what that's like?
I mean, I haven't talked to them much yet. Kevin Burrell told me they're sending me a jersey and a box full of stuff. I'm not really sure what they're sending me. And, I mean, we've been texting back and forth, but I definitely, whether it's coming to camp, I don't know about all that. I definitely want to get up there, you know, catch a game, do something, you know, check out the stadium, meet you guys, meet the people that made all this happen. Like, I definitely want to make my way up there this summer and check it out.
Now, you're in Braves country. Have the White Sox moved up to being your second favorite team? Are they your first favorite team?
I've been saying this even now. I got my Braves in the NL and the White Sox over in the AL now. I mean, it's been Braves my whole life, but obviously now that's the connection I definitely want to have up there is number one. So it's a tie.
Right, and Tyler Flowers, of course, used to be with the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really good. It's like people are telling me, like, you know, you got the Braves, but now you have this connection over there, like. It's like I looked at the schedule to see if they played each other, like, and they don't this year, which really kind of disappointed me. I really wanted to go to that, but it's just like now I got two teams to support, and I mean the White Sox more than supporting, like I'm like a part of it now. So I mean it's just really, really cool.
Your favorite player is Freddie Freeman. He lost his mom as well, and you kind of used him to inspire you as far as to go forward yourself. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. I mean even before. I mean, my mom's been sick my whole life. She was always sick. You know, I had to watch her struggle through that. So even before she passed away, they would tell Freddie's story on the Braves broadcast, and I would always just think, like, you know, she was still here, but I couldn't relate, like, what he's going through. His mom was sick, and I just always, like, this has always been, like, a cool, not cool, but you know what I mean, like a personal connection to me that, you know, seeing that his mom passed away and just he's, you know, on the biggest stage playing baseball, like, I always wanted to be like him, just, you know, keep going and don't let that affect you on the field. Just let it, you know, inspire you and push you harder.
Have you met Freddie Freeman?
I have not. I would really like to. That would be awesome. I mean, it's just stuff like that, you know, it would be really cool to do. Like, Asante Samuel, he DM'd me on Instagram yesterday. And, you know, he played for the Falcons, so that was really
right.
Cool. Like,
right, the former.
Seeing people like that reach out and notice my story is just like, that's unbelievable. I would never expect that.
Matt, what do you want to do with your life outside of baseball? You seem like you got a world of possibilities here. I'm curious where you're leaning. What's the plan here?
Well, so in college, I'm down to major in business, you know, business management, that type of thing. But I've always, like, when people ask me what I want to do, I'm always like, I don't know. I love sports. Like, I want to be involved with sports. You know, people are telling me now I should, you know, do something with the White Sox or something with the MLB, and that's something I would definitely look into doing. Like, just something with sports. I love sports. I love baseball. It's just something I want to, you know, carry with me my whole life. And I mean, maybe through all this, I could work my way and do something with the White Sox. I never know, you know, what my opportunities could be.
Make a good impression.
Well, they're obviously showing you what kind of people they are here. I think
yep.
I don't think there's anything wrong with letting them know that you'd like to be involved in some role. Now, Matt, maybe this is just pathetic me, but if I'm you and I get drafted by a Major League Baseball team, there's going to be certain ladies, certain girls in my neighborhood that are going to find out about this. Have you been able to let this information, you know, get in the hands of the proper people?
I mean, I've got my girlfriend of, you know, almost a year and a half now. She's everything to me. So, I mean, I've got her. She's been by my side for everything. And I, you know, can't thank her and her family enough for that. But, I mean, I've had all kinds of people, like I said, Asante Samuel even, but people I don't know, Twitter, Instagram, you know, teachers at my school that I never met, like, just reaching out to me and saying how cool this is and just all kinds of stuff. And it's just, the support's been just crazy through all of it. Like, people that have never heard of me in their life, you know, reaching out, just saying how cool that is. Like, it's just really, really, like, it's just unexpected. Like, people like to talk about how bad the world is, but stuff like this, like, makes you realize that people do still have hearts. Like, it's just amazing.
Yeah, and no doubt about that, too. There's a ton of good going on all the time. And I also, Matt, you have support within your family, too, right? You got older brothers. That's who you're staying with, at least in the interim before you go to school?
Yeah, when that all happened with my, because, you know, my mom passed away a year before my dad, so I still live with my dad. But when that all happened, I moved up, and I live with my brother now. I was actually commuting 40 minutes back and forth just to high school just because I wanted to finish out my year there because I've been in that school district my whole entire life. So those are like my family down there. So I wanted to, you know, stick that out and finish. So I stuck with the commute even though it was 40 to 45 minutes every day after practice. You know, I did that. I live up here with my brother now. My sister's about 15 to 20 minutes away. Like, we've gotten really close through all this. It's been good to see us, you know, come together instead of letting it tear us apart, you know.
Where are you going to college, Matt?
I'm going to the University of North Georgia.
Very nice. University of North Georgia. I like it.
Yeah, might have intentions to end up at UGA. We'll see how that goes. I'll probably end up doing that, but that's always something I've thought about.
Well, if you do end up at UGA, tell them it'd be a good idea to cover receivers deep.
Come on, now you don't have to do that.
I'm just saying.
Oh, I know. I wish I could tell them that myself. That was painful.
Matt,
that was painful.
Matt, we're the home of the White Sox here on the radio station. We at 720 WGN. We haven't met you, but your story just it touched so many people in the city. And you know, we had Nick Hostetler on earlier tonight, or the White Sox director of scouting, and we told him you were coming on, and you could just feel him light up. You know, that you were going to be on the program, and your story and the opportunity the White Sox had to, you know, give a small measure of respect back to you for what you've done, being a great teammate and moving forward in your life. So, I wish you all the best at North Georgia, whatever happens with the White Sox or whatever goes on here. You're on your way, man, and, you know, your journey has not obviously been an easy one, but you got no choice but to keep going, so just make yourself the star that you are, Mac Luke. That's what I'm envisioning for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you for having me on here, and just thanks for all the support. It's been amazing. The White Sox and just everybody. Like, I can't believe this even happened, and it's just been amazing the last couple of days. Like, I can never even dream about all this.
I assume you're going to tweet when you get the box of goodies from the White Sox. I assume you're going to, like, model the jersey, model the cap, and you'll tweet it out. We can all retweet it.
Oh, for sure. I'll definitely do that.
What's your Twitter, Matt?
You know what's? It's at MattKlug33.
All right. Hold on a second here. I got the file clicked on here. There we go. We're rolling. We're rolling, Harry. Matt, when you get to... only 740 followers. We gotta change this here. Look at you with your teammates here. The Broncos are fired up here, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sweet picture. All right. Hey, Matt, when you get to Guaranteed Rate Field, I personally recommend the Elotes, which is, it's a corn on the cob, which comes off the cob, and they put some really nice flavorful butter and paprika and whatever else in there. That's one thing. The grilled hot dog is delicious. Tremendous food over there. So make sure you take advantage when you get to town, and feel free to.
I'll definitely do that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck at school, and, good luck with your beautiful girlfriend here, and thanks so much for taking time on White Sox Weekly.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
It was our pleasure. Matt Klug, 38th round draft pick, your Chicago White Sox, Harry. That is
it's an awesome move. It's an awesome move by Kevin Burrell and by Nick Hostetler, and it's just, I mean, I love it. I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I can slightly relate to him, and I did not approach going forward like Matt did. I was like, you just kind of, when you're a young kid, you lose a parent. A lot, most kids, they go into a little bit of a spiral. They feel alone, or they don't want to go to school. They don't want to do their homework. They all that's going on. This kid is showing up and being a great teammate and going forward. And the White Sox found out about it, through some story online somewhere, and then they drafted him, and, hey, wishing him nothing but the best. All right, quick time up.
It's just, I love it. I can't tell you how great it is, and the Cubs did a similar thing with the 40th pick in the draft, so kudos to them as well.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN.